Let's all say amen. I want to thank Brother Gulick for that song on this afternoon. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Peter said in his first letter, in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he carried for you. So those burdens can be lifted by Jesus, and he's very near. I want to say good afternoon to everyone. I want to thank everyone for your presence on this afternoon. I want to thank those that may be visiting with us, that may be a member of one of our sister congregations in the Church of Christ. I want to thank you for being with us on this afternoon. I want to thank those that are members of those Highland Heights Church of Christ. Thank you for your presence. And then a special thanks for those, you are VIPs, very important persons, for those individuals that may be worshiping with us on this afternoon that may not be members of the Church of Christ. You are our special guests. And to you, I would like to say a couple of things before I get into our letter from James, Christ's brother, that in Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse number 23, Jeremiah said, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Jeremiah realized when it came to a spiritual walk in this life, it was not in man to direct or to lead himself. And then Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 6, and the verses number 33, let us know where that footing can be found when he said in verse number 33 of Matthew 6, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So he established a place for which that direction can be found. And then Jesus in his speaking to Nicodemus by night in John chapter 3 and in verses number 3, Jesus said to Nicodemus how one gets into that kingdom when he said in John 3:3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So that which one could see and enter would have to have a spiritual birth, not physically born, but be born again, and that is spiritually. One once is born again, in Acts chapter 2, and the verse is number 47, on the first assembling of those that became Christians, the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So we want to thank you on this afternoon for being with us, and I want to just thank Brother Tim Williams for his spirit on each Sunday as he's facilitated our worship services and coordinated those things. Just want to say thank you for him, to him, for the spirit that he's exhibited in our worshiping to our God. On this afternoon, if you have your New Testament copy, we're in the book of James, and we're in the fifth chapter, the last chapter of James. And again, we have entitled James, the letter of James, as a roadmap to Christian living, a roadmap, and how it will enable those that read the letter how to resist the sins of the world and also how to deal with difficult situations that existed in life. And so we're in that last chapter on this afternoon. And we looked at on last week 3 points from our previous message on last week, those that are note takers. One, we find that we were not to put a stumbling block before our brothers, not to judge our brother, but more importantly, not to put a stumbling block or reason to fall in front of the brother. And also from our subject title on last week, second point, we learned that all that we purpose and plan are dependent on God. If the Lord will, everything that we plan or purpose should include God in those plans. And then thirdly, we found from our study on last week that circumstances can and do have a role in what happens in the life of an individual. Circumstances can and do have a role in what happens in the life of an individual. And on this afternoon, I thank our young brother for reading our scripture on this afternoon. We want to speak from the subject that we find in our letter of James in the verses number 8, where James admonishes us, be ye also patient, establish your hearts. That's what James says. Be also patient, and then establish, which means to establish your hearts. And we'll talk about that on this afternoon. We'll begin at verse number 1 of this last chapter of the book of James, where James says, go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. So James now is beginning by addressing those that were rich. And he told them that you should begin to cry out in grief and to howl, he said, because of the suffering and the hardship that shall come upon you. What James is writing now were to those that were rich, and how those that had the wealth were oppressing the poor Christians. He says in verse 2, your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. So James says that your material wealth has been corrupted or gone rotten, and also those that garments are will be eaten by moth. He says, your gold and silver, verse 3, are cankered, are rusted, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. You have heaped treasure together for the last day. So what James again is talking about, those that had the wealth and how they oppressed those that had little. And James talks about how that will raise up and be a witness against them in verse number 3. And he says, and your flesh as it were fire. He says, your treasures, you have heaped your treasures for the last day. So he's talking to them that had the wealth and how they had abused those that did not. But I want to also, involved in this, talk to those of us that are Christians when it comes to those material things that we have, that we be good stewards or managers of the monies that we have as Christians, because Jesus said in Luke chapter 8, and the verse is number 14, that we be mindful that Jesus says, and that which fell among thorns are they, and are they which, when they heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring forth no fruit to perfection. James is talking about those that had material wealth and how they had abused it. But what Jesus now talks about those that desire to have riches, and how Jesus says, if we're not careful, it can choke us, or we can feel like life is strangling us because of our pursuit of the cares, the riches, and the pleasures of this life. And what Jesus said, what happens to us because of that pursuit, we bring forth no fruit to perfection. In other words, we don't grow as we ought to. We don't produce the fruit that the Lord wants to see in our lives. And let me just say, any wealth is bad for you if it hinders your obedience to the word of God. Any money we make, if it hinders your obedience to the word of God, is bad. It is the attitude we have with the things we possess that can be harmful to us. It's your attitude that we may have with the things the Lord has blessed us with that can be hurtful to the Christian. We can sin with the mishandling of money. And so even though James is talking about those on the other side, it's a mindset for Christians that we have the proper attitude with the things that we have and possess. Note back in James chapter 5, and the verse is number 4. James said, behold, the hire of laborers who have reaped down your fields. He's talking to the rich again, which is of you kept back by fraud. He said, they crying, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord. Sabbath. And so what James is saying here is that those that have workers who have worked in those fields and cut and collected in those fields, James says to those that are rich, he said, you have deprived them. And I want you to know that those that cry out, those that you are defrauding or mistreating, he says, those that cry, those cries have come before the ears of the Lord. The Lord is hearing them. And I want to say, talking to both sides of the fence, it is wrong for the employer to unfairly treat the employee. That's what James was talking about in verse 4. It was wrong for them that had workers to unfairly treat them. And I want to say on the other side of that, it is also wrong for the employee to not do that which they are hired to do. So on both sides, jobs go well when both sides show respect one to the other. When the employer fairly treats their employee, and when the employee knows when you go to work, you have a job that's assigned to you to do. What should be the Christian attitude on their jaws, even though James is talking about those that mistreat us, those that are Christians, there ought to be an attitude that Christians have on the job. And I think when Paul wrote to those in Colossae, in Colossians chapter 2, and beginning at verse number 22, Colossians chapter 2, and the verse is number 22. Note what Paul says to those Christians. He says, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleases, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. So those of us that are employees, our responsibility to our employers are to obey them in all things according to those that are our employers, our masters, according to the flesh. He said, and don't just do it when they are watching you. He said, those are simply man pleasers. But he said, but in singleness of heart, why? Fearing God. So when we go to work, we have a heart that's single and it's sincere, and that we know that we fear God. And he says then in verse 23, and whatsoever you do, he said, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. He said, whatever you do, you do it from the heart as to the Lord and not unto men. I may personally be employed by Harris County Sheriff's Office. However, I need to remember I work for the Lord. I may be employed by the Harris County Sheriff's Office. However, I must remember when I go to work, I work for the Lord. That's the attitude that any and all of us should have. When we go to our job, we are employed by those jobs. However, as Paul said in verse number 23, we work as though we work for the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For ye serve the Lord Christ. That's the mindset that James was warning us to have as it relates to those to whom we work for. And then he talks about them again, continues in his discussion. He says to them, for you have lived in pleasure on earth and been wanton. You have nourished your hearts as in the day of slaughter. James tells those rich who have mistreated those that were poor, he said, you lived in pleasure on earth and you live for self-gratification. He said, you made your heart fatten in nourishing your heart. And James says here, is as in the day of slaughter. He's speaking metaphorically as a sheep that unconsciously is going about to his doom. He's talking to those that are not Christian, just living, just gratifying themselves. James says, is like unto a sheep, not knowing on his way to doom. And then James says, you have condemned and killed the just, and he doeth not resist you. So James says here, talking about how they were using their influence in the realm of court to punish those that were less fortunate. He said, not only that, he talked about how you murdered the just. You know, they punished and they murdered Christ. They denied Christ and his life on earth. They did that. And James has reference to that, how they denied Christ and wouldn't render obedience. And Acts 3:14, the Bible says, but you have denied the Holy One and the just. And James said, Luke said, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. Brother Brooks made mention of that, how Christ rose, God raised up Christ from the dead. This morning, from the Hebrew letter, chapter 9, Christ died for the sins of mankind. He suffered the just one. He was killed, and he rose again the third day, never to die again. So James has reference to those that would murder the just one. He said, and he did not fight against you. So having said all that, how should the Christian live during the times we live in now? James then shares that with us, beginning at verse number 7. He says, as was read in our ears, be patient therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth, and has long patience for it until he received the early and the latter rain. James begins by saying the attitude of the Christian during the times we live in now. James says, be patient, stay faithful and steadfast to the Lord. He says, until the coming of the Lord. Then he says, notice, he says, look, the word husbandman is another word for a farmer or a tiller of the ground. He says, when it comes to, he used a metaphor here. He says, when it comes to a farmer waits for the precious fruit that comes from the earth. He says, he has long patience. In other words, during the times we live, we go through stuff. We have to learn to be very patient during difficult times. That's what James says. He says, until we receive the early and the latter rain. The harvest is always at the end for the farmer and not the beginning. We have to have patience, James says. The farmer has to trust the Lord to provide both rain, the early and the latter rain. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 13, the Bible says that God is faithful. That's what I hang my hat on. I trust in the fact that God is faithful. And then James says, verse number 8, where we get our subject title from. He says, be ye also patient. Just as the farmer, he says, be ye also patient. Establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord draweth near. Now, what James is saying here, the word patience here means to wait patiently for deliverance from your trials and for justice. God is faithful. He is just. James says not only that we have to wait for deliverance from our trials, but he says also to establish your heart. In other words, to make the purpose of your heart firm and stable. The Christian is not to become weary with anxiety or agitated because of the difficulty that life brings. We know we are living through a pandemic. We know and are aware of those vaccinations and the boosters, the shots that are out there. The farmer cannot, notice now, the farmer cannot speed up the process of natural law. Neither can the Christian. We simply have to do those things that the Lord has instructed us to do, those things that we have learned and garnered from those that are medical experts as we go through these difficulties in life. And I'll say to anyone that is going through things, when you have those pains and trials of life, that's why we have those medical experts to advise us, to give us advice, to listen to them as we go through those trials, to take those medications that are for our betterment, that we can become better in life and get the heal that the health that we want in life. He says, however, in all of this, it's our faith in what gets us through. And that Brother Bruce is going to share that in a Hebrew letter. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. I want to say to the Christian from Philippians, when we talk about be ye also patient and establish your heart. Paul says something in his Philippians letter, may be familiar with us in Philippians chapter 4, and the verse is number 13. Philippians 4, and the verse is number 13, where we talk about that faith that we have. Paul said, I can, and you can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Now, what Paul was saying in that verse of scripture, the word strengthens here has to do with your purpose. It is the feeling of being determined to do something through Christ, who gives us the purpose, who gives us that determination that we need in life. The Christian can never give up. You cannot be unwavering in your walk with the Lord. You have to understand that God is faithful. God is faithful. And God, as Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And then James says, back in James chapter 5, he said, grudge not one against another, lest ye be condemned. He said, behold, the judge standeth before the door, the judge being Christ. So what James is saying now, when it comes to me having that determination and that purpose to do something, James says then, he said, grudge not. You know, we have some that complain, unhappy, you know, and some of us live life, we see nothing good about anything. So James says here, grudge not one against another. Don't complain one against another. Why? Because I'm like the farmer. I'm going to wait for the early and the latter rain. I'm going to be one that trusts in the Lord. I'm not going to be one that walk around sour. I'm going to be one that uplifted and walk with the Lord. James said, note he says, brother, take my brethren, verse 10, take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. What James did was had them to go back, those Jews, and read about the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord and how we are to imitate their example of how they suffered and of their patience. Note, in talking about those that had faith, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 11:23 regarding Moses' parents. It said, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. You know, we live in a life today, we should not allow capitalism to cause us to fear. We don't worry about who's in office. Why? Because we are that proper child. We are children of God, and we live by faith, and we have God as our parent, and we're not fearful of anything. We're not afraid to live as a Christian and to stand as a Christian. And then my final verse that James says in verse 11, he said, behold, we count them happy which endure. We count them happy which endure. And this happiness was a feeling of peace that is not based on outward circumstances. I'm not talking about one that becomes happy because the purchase of a home or the purchase of a car. I'm talking about an inward peace that I have because of the relationship and the walk I have with the Lord. James said, which endure, or you have a courageous walk because of your relationship with God. And then James says, you have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercies. 3 points as I close this lesson this afternoon. One, you have the patience of the Lord. Two, you have they had seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord of two things. The Lord is pitiful, and he has tender mercy. Go back with me into the book of Job, because what James does is use Job as the example for the Christian and how God dealt with James. When you have time, read your assignment for study. Is to read the first chapter of the book of James, how God had blessed him and how James suffered affliction, and how at the end of that, Job said in verse 21 of Job chapter 1, Job said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, you have to live a life that James gives us. Job, our example. Job had an inward peace that was not based on his circumstances, his outward circumstances. But Job was courageous. He said, the Lord gave and the Lord has now taken away. Blessed be the name. I'm still going to praise the name of God. And then verse 22 is our first point. The Bible says, in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Job's faith did not waver because of his situation and circumstances. And then, when you look at the last chapter of Job chapter 42, the last 2 points, when James said, you have seen the end of the Lord. Well, we see the end of the Lord where the Bible tells us that we see that God showed him pity. In other words, God is mindful of the pain that his children go through. That's why James said, and the Lord is very pitiful. God is mindful of when the Christian goes through pain and suffering. And not only that, James says God has tender mercy. In other words, God is full of compassion. Note what God does for Job in verse number 12 as I move toward a close. The Bible says, so the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she-asses. So what God did was bless Job more in the latter end than at the beginning. When you go back to Job chapter number 1 and verse number 3, the Bible says his substance was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and a very great household. Well, the latter end, God doubled everything that Job had in the latter end than the beginning end. Christian, if that doesn't encourage you, we serve the same God. The Hebrew writer said, we serve the same God. He says in Hebrews 13 and 8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. We serve the same God that Job served. God can bless our latter end greater than the beginning. It's our responsibility as I close. Simply, be ye also patient and let your hearts be firm and established. Let your hearts be fixed on the Lord. You have purpose in the Lord, and God can do in our lives the same as he did for Job. James gives us that example in his letter of, have you heard of the patience of Job? Job was patient and the Lord blessed him. We can read and see the purpose and design of God in the case of Job. God had a purpose and a design in the life of Job. And we see that God blessed him. His latter end was better or more than his beginning. If you're on the call this afternoon and you're not a Christian, you're missing these blessings that are only for those that are Christians. Those blessings, the Bible records in Ephesians chapter 1, and the verse is number 3, where the Bible says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us," he's talking about Christians, "with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Those blessings are spiritual blessings, are only for those that are Christians. How can, if you're on the call this afternoon, how can you become a Christian, a child of God, a member of the Church of Christ? We find in Romans chapter 1, one must first hear the gospel. Paul said to the Romans, so Romans 1:15, "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it," the gospel, "is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." There are three facts of the gospel of Christ. The first fact is that Christ died for our sins. He suffered on the cross. Brother Brooks shared that. If you listen this morning, he was nailed to the cross. He was there for 6 hours. He died on that cross. They took him down. They buried him in a tomb. And 3 days later, the Lord raised him up from that death. And so you must believe that. That's what Romans 6 says, that you must believe that. And then in Romans chapter 6, the Bible says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" You should not continue. Right now, you're in sin. You don't have to continue that way. Paul said, "God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" You must realize that Jesus Christ died for sin. You have to die to sin. How is that done? Verses 3 and 4. He said, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." There are 5 acts that one must do to become a Christian. You must hear the gospel. That's number 1. You have to believe it. That's fact number 2. You have to repent of your sin, meaning you have to first begin by turning to Christ and the word of Christ. Then you must confess what is found in Acts 8:37, when the eunuch, prior to being baptized, he made the confession or the statement, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And then you must be, as we find in the scripture, water baptized for the forgiveness of all your past sins. Then the Lord will add you to the only church you can read about in Romans 16:16, where the Bible says, "Salute one another with a holy kiss." The church of Christ salutes you. And that's what happens in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. They were added to the Lord. If you are in need of responding to the gospel, get with the person that invited you on the call and obey the Lord and become a Christian. Have them get in contact with us so we can have you added to the Lord by being water baptized for the remission of your sin. I thank you this afternoon for your patience in hearing the word of God. Thank you very much.